What if the health of your church or your staff had less to do with organizational systems and hard work and much more to do with your health as a spiritual leader? You know, we never lead anything or anyone apart from the kind of people we are at our core. That's our character. That's our integrity. So what are those solid elements that build us as strong leaders made of strong integrity and wholeness? Well, that's why we're here today. And we're going to identify those inward structures that lead to personal integrity. And we're going to ask the hard, provocative questions that are essential to becoming a solid leader from the inside out. Sit back and engage with us right here, right now, on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We are absolutely thrilled you joined us today. It's going to be a great episode talking about integrity and how that affects our influence. But before we do that, just got to kind of shed some tears and cry or spilled milk a little bit. All you Carolina Panthers fans, we've just got to pick each other up. Bruce, it was a rough weekend, man. Another hard Sunday. Thanks the Lord, we had a great church service, and because I needed the inspiration to make it through that game. Man, that was a hard one.
Yeah, I'm. It's two games in, and the dream is dead. I hate to say it, but.
I had high hopes.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we do. They are in the tomb, man. They are. I hate to say it. I love Bryce Young, but he either something's not clicking in the system, or they're just getting beat up. I mean, I hate to say it, but it seems like the last 2 weeks it's been the JV team playing the varsity team.
Yeah, it's been hard to watch. But I'm a man of great faith, like I said last week. And so I'm believing for some positive outcomes to surface. And when they do, we'll stake our claim on something good is happening. So one good thing is we're that much closer to NBA season than the Charlotte Hornets, but I think it's going to be a pretty rough road there too. So, man, it's a tough season if you're a North Carolina professional sports fan. But nevertheless, there are higher priorities and more important things that fill our lives. So, so if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, this is a safe place. This is a place you can come. If you're not a Panthers fan, please keep your comments to yourself and just send the love. just send the love. That's what we need right now.
Well, I gotta be honest, Charles. I'm seeing a lot of Carolina Panthers fans that are not keeping their comments to themselves right now.
You're right about that. Well, hey, here's one positive thing, I guess, that about this terrible start to a new season. I was reading Panthers tickets have been drastically reduced in price. There was one headline that said you can buy a Panthers ticket for the price of a hot dog combo. So, I mean, you know, it makes it more accessible for more people to go to the game, I guess. But do you really want to go to the game? That's the dilemma. But anyway, so hey, we may have to do a Five Gifts Podcast live from Bank of America Stadium. We might have an entire section to ourselves just to record. All right. Well, that's enough venting and therapy. Bruce, anything that you want to comment about before we get going today?
No, I think we're on a really important topic today. I wouldn't say it's a quote-unquote a sexy topic, but when you talk about leadership, I think we're dead on maybe one of the most important aspects of being a leader. Mm-hmm. And that's your personhood. And I think we have some great insights today to share. And I think we have the kind of questions that can help us as leaders really begin to think about the source of great influence. So I'm really excited to get into this. Charles, influential leaders have integrity with people. Now, maybe you can help us understand what is integrity and how does it affect our leadership?
Sure. I know that real integrity is about the small things. You know, when we talk about leadership, leading organizations, leading groups, a group of people, even leading ourselves, we want to tend to talk in terms of large and broad brushstrokes, big philosophical ideas, and those things have their place. But when we really get down to the bottom line of this, integrity, real integrity, is about the small things. It's the foundation upon which many other qualities are built. It is an essential piece of the leadership puzzle, because one must have integrity to lead with great influence. It is truly the foundation upon which leadership, whether we're simply leading ourselves or, again, leading groups of people, leading large organizations, wherever you find yourself in leadership, integrity is the foundation. It's the platform upon which all great sustainable leadership and influence is built. D.L. Moody, he had this to say about character, about reputation, about integrity. He says, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. We'll talk about reputation a little bit later, but integrity is again, it's the stage, the platform. It's the platform upon which we stand. Heard some great comments about a platform over the weekend, being those things that we believe in, those things upon which we stand. That's integrity. Integrity serves as the platform for our leadership. Integrity commits itself to character over personal gains. Integrity commits to principles over convenience. Integrity will commits itself to the long view over the immediate. This is really a paramount distinction. It's very, very critical understanding about integrity, especially in a convenience culture in which we live. We're always reaching for what's convenient, for what's comfortable, for what feels good in the moment. And that really sets itself, that kind of ideology and thinking sets itself against the nature of true integrity. Integrity will always put the other person over the leader, to building character in others and within ourselves, as more important than just simply what can I gain from this transaction or from this conversation or from this relationship. That's oftentimes we're dealing in the currency of manipulation. When we're looking for personal gain, integrity pushes back. It fights against manipulation, because it puts character over personal gain. It puts principles over convenience. Digging deep and doing the hard work of principled leadership, rather than just what can I grab off the shelf that's quick and that's easy. And that's convenient. And again, integrity looks at the long view rather than the immediate. Another component of integrity is that integrity it's an inside job. It begins and it is grounded from within. One of the reasons people often struggle with integrity is that we tend to look outside of ourselves to explain any deficiencies of character. A person who is filled with integrity always looks within first. They're not finger pointers. They're not people who play the blame game. People that are filled with integrity are not the victims and don't play the victim card. Integrity allows us to look inside and allows us to take responsibility for who we are, for decisions we're making, for actions we're taking, instead of looking to the external world to assign blame or look for excuse. Integrity really causes the influential leader to look within self first. Integrity is not defined by circumstances. Again, that's another one of those external components. Now, of course, we understand, especially in our younger ages, that environments and circumstances we're exposed to help to shape and inform who we are as people. But what we also understand is this, that as we grow, as we age, and as we mature, that we make more choices for ourselves. We make more decisions for ourselves. And so we are responsible for who we are. We are responsible for building this platform of integrity. And so our circumstances begin to dim in focus, that begins to dim in intensity. So again, at an early age, maybe there's some truth to that. But as we grow, as we mature, as we develop, we're making choices, we're making decisions, and so our integrity is not determined by circumstance. Integrity is not based on credentials. Listen, character comes from who you are. Credentials are all about achievement, accomplishment, what we have done, what we have achieved, those things that we have conquered. They look great on a resume. And listen, there's achievement and accomplishment has its place, but character comes from who you are. Oftentimes we try to arrive at a place of integrity from achievement or accomplishment. We try to impress people with our title. We try to influence people with achievement or accomplishment. And that's simply integrity. Character does not come from that place. It comes, again, from all the work, internal work that we've done. Character comes from who you are. And as you know this as well as I, just an observation I've made over many years in pastoral work and pastoral ministry, what I have observed, and I'm guilty of it too, seeking a title, seeking a place of authority, and saying, if I just had that title, I could influence and lead many more people. And it comes, integral leadership with integrity comes from within, not from our title. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. People coming and saying, Pastor, I want a title. Give me a title. Here, in church world, the trump cards, the ace up our sleeves, are if I can just get a title, or if I can get a set of keys to the church, I've got the keys to the kingdom. I've got the power to make things happen. And what I've learned in my growth journey, and especially in leadership and integrity, has been I really don't want a key to the church. It seems like in years past, whoever had the biggest keychain, keyring, they had all the power, the influence, and that's just that's false. That's wrong thinking. It's not true. Whoever had the greatest title. I'm not interested in how many keys I can have to the church building or if I can have the greatest. My influence, that my leadership, it derives from a platform from within, not what is externally laid out before other people. So we're not looking for credential-based leadership, but character, integrity coming from within. Another component would be that integrity is not to be confused with reputation. Integrity is not to be confused with reputation. I heard it kind of explained and talked about that reputation is kind of the shadow. It's who you're supposed to be. But integrity is who you really are. Hmm. That reputation is the photograph, but integrity is the real face. It's the actual face of the person. Hmm. And so some pretty good distinctives between reputation and integrity. Another comparison there that I read was that reputation is what humanity says about us, how they view us and perceive us. Integrity is all about what the angels say about us in the throne room of heaven. Mm. So while there is a place for reputation, and we do want a good reputation. We do want a good name among people. Integrity is what was for. And correct me,
Charles affected.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I think we're on an important point here because I think we live in a world that tries to put reputation out in front of everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're a teenager that is trying to gain acceptance on social media, and so you blow up your profile. I mean, you put your best face forward. You frame every shot. You make sure that you are friends with the right people. That your network is, but we do that as adults too. I mean, we both have LinkedIn profiles. We both have put together our resumes over the years, and a lot of that is to put our best face forward. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes in leadership, what happens is we try to lead from that. We try to gain acceptance, and we're acceptance magnets. I think that's one of the outcomes of a fallen nature is that we know there's something wrong. We know there's something broken. And we're trying to find acceptance, and a lot of times, we try to leverage, our accomplishments and our appearance and how whatever we can do to dress it up, to put it out there to gain influence with people, and you're hitting on something that I think is vital to this podcast, this episode, this morning, and that's really looking at. I think you mentioned it earlier. It's the inside work. It's what we do. On the inside, it's who we are. It's that solidness that comes from character. And like you said, not how people define us with whatever means we can help them to, get information about us, but it really is. It's what the angels see. It's what God sees. And I'd much rather be known by people the way God sees me.
Yeah.
We just needed to park on that for a minute.
Sure. Keep going. Yeah. Well, it's extremely important. Again, our culture is all about reputation, and oftentimes, 99.9% of the time, I would say, Scripture is countercultural. The ways of God do not line up and align with cultural ideologies and We're as believers, we're always swimming upstream. one other kind of comparison or way to think about integrity and reputation. Again, I think it was, I believe it was King Solomon talked about, reputation is, having a good name is an important thing. It's, I think he even likens it to gold. But one author said that if reputation is like gold, having a good reputation, if that's like gold, then integrity is like owning the mine. And that really, really sets it in proper perspective for me. We think about the valuable nature of gold, and so that's the value of a good reputation. But integrity is like actually owning the entire gold mine. And so while yes, we want a good name, what we really want is true integrity. And so so those are just a few thoughts, a few ideas about the importance of integrity and having integrity, what it is, what it's not. I must be feeling myself today because I've got another quote for us. I'm usually not a quote guy, but Abraham Lincoln talked about, look, when I lay down the reins of this administration, I want to have one friend left, and that friend is inside myself. He's talking about his integrity, as he led this country. And so the internal aspects of integrity cannot be just swept under the rug. This is a platform. Again, integrity is a platform upon which we stand. It gives us a place, a strong place to stand. By which we can lead ourselves, lead our families, in business, in organizational life, leading those organizations or people that we're charged to lead. Integrity is built internally, and it gives us a strong inner stand by which to lead and lead effectively. So our admonition is to do the work. Make those decisions that will create and help cultivate integrity. So how do we do that? Well, I think, Bruce and I, we both tend to go to the place of self-reflection, asking questions and reflecting on our lives. We both value that discipline. And so let's just ask some questions. And if you're listening today, maybe you want to mark the time mark of where this segment is going, so you can come back later and work through these questions. But some questions that help us measure our level of integrity. First would be, how well do I treat people from whom I can gain nothing? That's a hard one. We're leading with the hard questions today. How well do I treat people from whom I can gain nothing? Second question, am I transparent with others? This one really hits home to me, that the idea of transparency. I took a spiritual gifts assessment years ago, and one of my top spiritual gifts, according to that assessment, I believe it was right, is leadership. And so we were instructed to look into that gift of leadership. This particular assessment had constructs of the gifts, so the pieces that made up the gift of leadership. And one of those constructs was identified as transparency. And so, as we're leading, as we're improving ourselves, we want to work from a place of strength. And so I want to develop the areas of my life where I'm strong. And so taking this gift of leadership, I'm looking at the constructs of leadership this assessment identifies. And it was very obvious and very quick to see that the best way for me to improve my leadership was to improve my level of transparency as I lead and and with those whom I lead. So I began to really work on that. And I'm a much more transparent leader today than I was those years ago when I took that particular assessment. And all that just to say is that has helped to develop and to strengthen my platform, my level of integrity. It's given me a stronger platform from which to lead. So am I transparent with others? Do I role play based on the person or people that I'm with? You know, are you putting on a face? Are you putting on an act? Or are you being genuine? Are you the same with one person as you are with all people? Now, the fourth question, am I the same person when I'm in the spotlight as I am when I'm alone? So, Pastor, are you the same person when you're preaching as you are when you're leading a staff meeting on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, as you are when you are with your family, as you are when you're all alone? In the different environments in which we lead, is there a level of consistency that runs through those different environments? Here's a tough one. Nobody wants to be wrong, but do I quickly admit wrongdoing without being pressed to do so? How quick are you or am I to admit, hey, I messed up, I made a mistake? And believe you me, it will find you out. Those mistakes they have a way of coming back to haunt you. So, again, gauging our levels of integrity, how quick am I to say, hey, look, that one's on me. I messed up. Do I put other people ahead of my own personal agenda? Again, leading is serving. If we're not serving, we're not leading. I think we're manipulating. So how quickly, how easily am I able to put other people before my own personal agenda? Do I have an unchanging standard for moral decisions, or do circumstances determine my choices? Again, we're talking about questions that help us measure our level of integrity. Do I make difficult decisions, even when they have a personal cost attached to them? When I have something to say about people, do I talk to them, or do I talk about them? When I have something, here's the last one. Am I accountable to at least one other person for what I think, for what I say, and for what I do? What are the levels of accountability that you've built into your life? We have to think about that. And so, if you're a senior pastor, there's maybe a board, a board of directors, an elder board in the church. What about just individually? Outside of the church, are there some relationships that you've cultivated that can help hold you accountable? Listen, I have three different people right now in my life that that I can call, and they know they can call me, and there's immediate accountability built in that I can ask them the hard questions. They can ask me the hard questions. And that's so important. So helpful. I mean, it's not always pleasant. But it's, again, we're building this strong platform of integrity that allows. So, excuse me. This will be a great segment of questions to go back and just take your time, work through those, think through them, pray through these, and really begin to discover a good and accurate measure of integrity in your own life and leadership. So Bruce, we talked a lot about, and we're asking questions to reflect about integrity in our lives. But we don't want these to just be talking points or things that we can just kind of talk around. There are some great benefits to integrity within the leader's life. Could you talk to us about what some of those benefits are?
Certainly. You know, the last couple of weeks, I've reconnected with my my early 1980s contemporary Christian music. That was a huge influence on my life, you know, as a young teenager who made a decision to trust Jesus. And so I remember songs from groups like Petra and Mylon LeFevre and Russ Taff. Their songs really helped shape my theology and my relationship with God. And I remember just recently listening on Russ Taff came up on Pandora, and it was a song, early song for him, called Inside Look. And he said, "Have you really taken an inside look? Are you hearing what your actions say?" And I think that's obviously important. And Charles, you've talked on things that deal with, you know, taking the inside look. But remember that that's always going to manifest in your leadership. And so one of the benefits of dealing with those internal aspects of your life and engaging your integrity and making a commitment to growing in your integrity is that it leads to trust. When people trust you, that's a currency in leadership that is invaluable. And when you think of influencing people and leading them, and especially in spiritual leadership, because we attach eternal values to our role as spiritual leaders and what we teach and how we lead people into the presence of God and how we help them to embrace biblical values and truths and try to live to glorify Jesus in the world. That integrity is absolutely important. If you lose integrity, everybody knows this. If you lose integrity, you break trust. So real integrity builds trust and with the people that you're leading. So you want to model a consistency of character. You know, the truth is that trust can only develop when people trust you all the time. And so that goes right back to your character. And I'm reminded of one of the pinnacle statements made of King David. Everyone knows that he was a man after God's heart, but God said about David that he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. Now, people might recoil at that. David's a controversial figure. He's a provocative figure. And he certainly had great highs in leadership. He brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, established Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And he was an incredible leader. He took on Goliath. He took on lions and bears. And that was a quality that was with him, you know, whether it was in the fields, the battlefield, or in the throne room. But David wasn't perfect. I mean, he was far from perfect. He had severe lapses in judgment. But he was always willing to go inward. He's always willing to look at himself in light of how God saw him. And there's something about that, your own internal relationship with God, that's always going to manifest in your leadership. And we talked earlier about, you know, reputation is what people say about you, but your integrity is something that the unseen realm knows about you. What God sees about you, what the angels would say about you. So when you model consistency of character, when you're looking to build trust, there's some things that are important. Number one, always employ honest communication. I respect the leaders in my life who I felt were being deeply honest with me. Now, if you're a person that is a high D and you're always pressing the issue, then sometimes you can be harsh. And if you're more of an introverted leader like I am, where I try to collaborate with people, then I can compromise honesty by not always being transparent. And so, but you'll find that people appreciate transparency. And that's something you have to bring into your communication. Bring it to communication with staff, bring it to the pulpit, bring it to counseling, bring it to coaching, bring it to whatever measure you have in relating to people as a leader. Always speak honestly. Share it with the biblical principle of Ephesians, of speaking truth in love. I think of some of the best leaders that I know, and regardless of their personality type, regardless of their leadership style, they had the capacity to use a hammer, but use it lightly. And I think of Charles, one of our friends. He's gone on to be with Jesus, but Alan Byerly, who had this very vibrant personality, man, he filled the room. His voice was big, but you want to talk about a guy that always led with his heart too. And so there's something about honest communication that takes really loving people. And Charles, you mentioned this earlier, not manipulatively. And if you can remove manipulation and agenda from your communication with people, if you can talk from an honest perspective with love, I think that amplifies the trust that you build with people. Secondly, value transparency. Transparency is so huge today because it seems like people are transparent only when they get caught. I know that's not true in every situation, but with a lot of the scandals that have been coming out of the Christian world, we've seen spiritual leaders that I would have never had them on my radar as people that would ultimately let a lot of people down by their actions, by their indiscretions. And it seems like transparency was the buzzword when they're coming clean. But over the long term, what you begin to see is they were just being transparent to the degree that they had been caught. And that's not appropriate for Christian leaders. It's important to stay transparent, to be above board in every situation, to submit yourself to people that you can be accountable to, people that have not only the right or not only the permission to ask you the hard questions, but even being intentional about asking you those hard questions. You need to have those people actually asking you. It's one thing to say, listen, I've given people permission to hold me accountable. It's another thing for them to actually be holding you accountable. And transparency is so vital. And so I think that's something to remember. Transparency builds trust. Number three, exemplify humility. The old adage is, let me tell you how humble I am. We're not talking about that kind of demonstration of humility, but humility in terms of, well, when you're honest with people, you're going to be honest about your own deficits. You're going to be honest about your lack of knowledge about certain matters. You're going to be honest with your own limitations as a leader, where I know I've looked at my staff over the years, and I've tried to think about, all right, where do we have deficits? And usually I have to go to me. Where are my deficits, and who are the people that I need to bring around me? What are the strengths I need to add to our staff? And that, you know, one thing that will do, that will lessen people's, let me rephrase that. That will recalibrate people's expectations of you, and it will empower others. So learning to lead with humility, it starts with you being honest with yourself, but also humility in the sense that when you relate to others, they pick up on that. They pick up on a meekness about your life, and that's very endearing. I don't mean endearing in a manipulative way, but it's very appealing to people, and they're going to feel safer around you as a leader. Four, demonstrate your support of others. Make sure that you are vocal in helping and letting people know that that you're there to encourage them and empower them and to help them. demonstrate that. Be very intentional about that with your staff. Be intentional about that with your volunteer leaders. As a person of integrity, if they see that you depend on them and that you're empowering them, then they begin to look at leadership as more of a flat relational structure. I'm not saying there doesn't need to be a hierarchy and clear lines of authority, but when it comes to relationship as a staff, when you demonstrate support, then you're building a coalition of people that are with you, and they want to support. When you come up with an agenda, when you cast a vision, man, that's going to fly because people trust you. And so demonstrating your support for them is vital. Number five, fulfill your promises. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. When you declare that this is what you're going to do, when you communicate that this is what people can expect from you, then do that. Fulfill those. Be diligent about being a person of your word. Again, a few others that we could think of when it comes to building integrity is embrace an attitude of service. Be a giver. Be a giver, not a taker. Don't always be the one that's asking for favors. Be the person that's putting yourself out there asking, how can you help people? How can you serve them? How can you help them to become better in their leadership and their ministry? Number seven, encourage two-way participation with the people you influence. Again, this goes back to being a collaborative kind of person. And I can think of Dr. Rick Ross, who just left our district. He's gone on to general counsel in the assemblies. And, you know, Pastor Rick has a very vibrant, very high D personality. He's also the kind of person that is, he acts, he's a driver. He has the energy and he's that kind of a leader. But my wife is a women's ministry director for our district, and she works with him. And, you know, she always felt like there was participation. She was asked for her input. He was always honest in communication with her, but it always felt like a team was being built. And so I always appreciate that about Pastor Rick. And that's the kind of leader that people see as a person of integrity, that you're working with them. And then number eight, you need to think about, what does it take to increase people's trust in you? So when you think about that, you go back through the list of the seven things that we've just talked about, because integrity is vital to building trust. Now, why is that important? Why do we start with building trust with people? It's very simple. Trust leads to influence. If people don't trust you as a leader, then they're not going to trust your vision. If they don't trust you as a leader, then there's a good chance that they're not going to submit to you as a leader. So learning to build trust with people, it all goes back to integrity, Charles. I don't think there's any pathway to building trust with people that bypasses integrity. It just doesn't exist. So with that in mind, Charles, maybe we could talk about how we become leaders that have integrity.
Sure. Well, I think a place to springboard off of into becoming a leader with integrity would be this. It's to commit ourselves to honesty, reliability, and confidentiality. So we want to be honest in our leadership. Now, we can be graceful in our honesty, but nevertheless, we want to be honest as we lead. And as we're, this is going to help us be leaders with integrity. We want to be reliable. We want to do what we say we're going to do. We want to be where we say we're going to be. People, if we're going to lead people, they have to be able to rely on us. And confidentiality is a key. listen, if we're running our mouth all the time, no one is going to have trust in us. If confidentiality is not a value, if it's not something that we practice and discipline ourselves to practice, then we shoot ourselves in the foot in regards to leadership. That destroys our integrity. So commit yourself, commit ourselves to honesty, reliability, and confidentiality. Another strong tenet that helps us to be leaders with integrity would be decide ahead of time that you do not have to pay a price. In other words, there's no amount of money, there's no amount of power, there's no high-ranking position or authority that is worth you or me compromising our integrity. Don't sell yourself out. Because if you do, what you will discover, and you will quickly discover, is that you are running away from integrity, and you are no longer leading with integrity. So decide ahead of time. Listen, you do not have to pay a price. You do not have to sell out. You do not have to be bought in order to be a great leader. But what you do, what you must have, is a strong platform of integrity. Bruce, what about some kind of majoring in the minor things? How does that help us with integrity?
Yeah, becoming a leader with integrity means that you do the little things. You pay attention to the little things. And what I mean by that is you pay attention to the little things that relate to you, your habits. I would encourage everyone listening to just spend the next week carefully assessing your character habits. That's one thing we don't always do. We don't take the time to look at through self-reflection. Just look at what you're doing. Be mindful of that. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see it. Ask him to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to check you, if you will. The Holy Spirit will do that. He does come and convict. He does help us to see those parts of us that are not in alignment with godly character. So just think over the next week or so, make a note of yourself each time that you fudge on the truth, where you don't tell the whole truth, where maybe in a relationship with a staff person or a church person, you're entering into conversations that don't explain the whole truth. There's a lack of transparency in your communication. Number two, make a note the next time you neglect to fulfill a commitment, whether it's promised or implied. Again, a lot of times the promises that we communicate to people are not stated clearly, but it's how people receive it. So be mindful of those communications that you have with people. So take note of that. Take note of if you left an assignment uncompleted. I have to be honest with you. That one is nailing me to the wall today because I have a few things in front of me that I put off for terrible reasons last week. And so today I'm playing catch up. And I think that's an indication that I didn't give the right priority to something that should be a priority. So take note of those moments you leave an assignment uncompleted, unfulfilled. Fourthly, talk about something that or take note of any time you've talked about something that you might have been expected to keep confidential. You know, Charles, you mentioned this earlier, being committed to honesty and confidentiality with people. The reason that's so important is because that builds a safe place, and it amplifies your trust with people. People, if they can't trust you, again, you're losing your leadership. So be mindful of those things and take note of those. Charles, is there one more?
In full disclosure and in all honesty here, one more. Each day, you want to do what you should do before you do what you want to do. Man, that hurts, because I don't like doing what I have to do if it interferes with doing what I want to do. But again, we're becoming people and leaders who lead with integrity. So each day, figure out, you know, as you look at your schedule, what are the things that you should do, and do those before you begin doing what you want to do. So just some simple things. Well, that's our episode for today. That is all you need to know about integrity, all you need to do. You'll be the person who can feel what you need. So, no, we hope you've enjoyed being with us. We certainly have enjoyed our time and our conversation about becoming leaders of integrity. And our prayer is that you join us in our journey as we're growing in integrity, that you grow with us, and we can continue leading in the right way, leading in a manner that is filled with integrity. So thanks again for joining us today on the Five Gifts Podcast. Please like, follow, subscribe, share, all those things. Do them. We're asking you to help us out. Come along on the journey. Be a regular part of what we're doing here at the Five Gifts Podcast. You can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com, and he will help you on your journey to obtaining and acquiring integrity. You can reach out to me at charlesrussellministries.com if you have some church-related issues, or charlesrusselltraining.com if there's some questions you're seeking answers for outside of the church world in regard to leadership development. But either way, we would be honored and privileged to serve you in your personal growth journey. So with all that being said, we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.